as Weaver, like I said, there in 22, it says that he'd come back down here to Caesarea. He'd went up to Jerusalem, and then he went down to Antioch. So that's where. So again, they're in one verse, and it makes you feel like it's just right next door. But that ain't just a simple journey there, I'm certain. I'll bet if I made that walk one time, y'all would hear about it a whole lot more than what you did from him. I'd be griping probably the whole way. But in your map there, as we mentioned on Paul's second journey, it shows that and where all he had been. And starting in the 23rd, we'll be going up to Paul's third journey there. And you see each time he just expands out a little bit farther and covers some of the... He goes back to the churches. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to go back and visit the churches and the places that they had been after each journey. Going back and kind of touching base on the chapter 18. In Acts 18 and 1, we recognize that Paul had came to Corinth from Athens. And while he was at Corinth, he was writing to the church at Thessalonica during this 18-month ministry. And so here, while he's in Corinth, here in Acts 18 and 5, we just wanted to understand that Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia and talking about Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And that was talking about where they had came down to him. And then so basically that's how we're supporting that Thessalonians was written there during this time. They were writing to that church, and that kind of got on my mind this week during the study. I was trying to determine where he was at and what journey and maybe what books that he would have been writing to, or what churches or what area of churches that he might have been writing to. So some of those things come up in my mind. It's like the more I read on this, the more I realize I've got ADD. I really do. I just get so just spread out, and I want to look into this, and I no sooner get into that, and I look into this. And so y'all just bear with us this morning, because I feel like it's a scattered mess. So maybe the Lord put it together, because I certainly can't. So that's where I believe that he'd wrote these letters to Thessalonica, there in Thessalonians 1 and 2. And we'd read into that a little bit during our study. In Acts 18 and 18, it says that he sailed unto Syria. So I think that was the direction, but he most certainly didn't make it that far. Like if you're looking there at your map that we had, and if you're going from Corinth, and if it says he sailed to Syria, but then he stopped off there at Ephesus, recognize that was somewhat in that direction, but a long way. So the boat has to pull over and drop off some things, and maybe he had to catch another, maybe that was part of the trade route. Maybe there wasn't a direct vessel, if you would, maybe like you think of it as a direct flight. But either way, his intention was to get back over to Syria, but stop there in Ephesus. And we just want to recognize there that in 18 and 18, there towards the end of that verse, talks about, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. We talked about that last week. And then we recognize that if you go to Romans 16 and 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. So we recognize Paul wasn't there very long, but we know there's a church there at Cenchrea. And is that on this map here? I guess it is. Yeah, it don't. It's right here. It's right out from the coast there of Corinth is where Cenchrea is there. But we recognize there's a church there. And we recognize Paul wasn't there very long. It don't talk a whole lot about that. So then that got my mind to thinking, well, you know, where does these churches come from? Because in my mind, I'm thinking Paul is going out and setting up all these churches. But then I get to thinking, well, where do I get that from? Why do I believe that, you know? Because I hear that, or you're is it because all we hear about, all we've got is Paul's writings, and we've got Luke's writings, which wrote the book of Acts. So Luke is the one that's telling this story, and he's not necessarily a scribe that's writing down everything that would have happened in all the areas. He's merely talking about what Paul's doing. So trying not to jump forward too much, but we know starting this second missionary route, we know Barnabas took John Mark. And if you were to think, so they were both talking, if you go back into that. If you go back into that where they had, Acts 15 and 39. No, let's start at 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And then Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So we're reading in the book of Acts mainly about Paul, right? We hear some about Peter. We know Peter's out doing this work. We know by that account here in Acts, we know that Barnabas and Mark is gone out. And it kind of, they had just been having this conversation. Paul was saying, hey, let's go back and visit the churches where we had been. And Barnabas was on board with that. So you believe that just because Mark was introduced doesn't necessarily change the plan, but they just decided, well, we're not going with each other. And it's almost like Paul decided to take the north route, where Barnabas decided to take the south route. So maybe Paul goes back in circulation the same route that he had went originally, but maybe Barnabas is going a opposite direction. So I guess what all of that's I'm trying to convince myself of, there's other people out there doing the work, right? There's other ways that churches can be established none other than besides Paul. So that would be real easy to think of that Cenchrea could have easily had a church there. It could have been established before Paul ever even swung by the first time. We don't know that, to be quite honest with you. We just know that Paul swung by there, and it's mentioned, and we know by the end of Romans that there was a church established there that Phoebe was a part of. Now, when Romans was being written, that would have been on the third journey of Paul's while he was at Corinth, so that was several years later. So it could have been established from Paul's second journey to his third journey with some of the other churches that were already set up there in Achaia and in Macedonia. So we don't know just exactly when it happened. We don't know that Paul did or didn't have a hand in it. We just know that he passed through there. We know others have been through there besides him, and we know there's a church already set up there in Cenchrea at some point in time in that 5 to 6 year window, somewhere between 59 AD to 56 or 57 AD. So that was kind of good for me to get my head wrapped around that and understand that we're not just looking at one and only way that God, he didn't just commission Paul. Matter of fact, Paul didn't get that commission to start with, did he?
If you think about the timetable on it all, you're looking at, 58, 60 AD, Paul's journeys, and he's talking about where those churches may have been established from. If you go back about 25 or 30 years to the day of Pentecost, mm-hmm. It said that there was people gathered from all four corners of the earth, and it even talked about there were strangers there from Rome, as well as
amen.
These other places. Well, the day of Pentecost, all that happened and all the people that got saved, who all knows who was called to preach and everything else.
Amen.
And then they went back
yep.
to their homes. And over in Acts 2, it even talks about the strangers that was there from Rome.
Amen.
So, I mean, that could have been a leg from the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Somebody got saved and called to preach or whatever, and went back to Rome and established the church.
Amen.
But
amen. Appreciate that.
When he's talking there, Acts 2:11-14, or 9-11.
Let's go back there and look at that.
Acts 2 and 11. Now, I'll let you read
it tonight. Yeah, put me on the spot, yeah. Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and dwellers and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Amen. Amen. And we also, to that point, and I don't want to cut you off, but I think this will support that, in 18 and 2, and it says, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. So we know there were Jews over there, don't we? And we know that's where the Christians would have came out of the Jews, more than likely, in that time. Not saying that Gentiles wasn't, but again, what we've seen Paul love to do, and Jesus as well, we'd seen that last week. They love going into the synagogues, talking to the Jews, because they had the majority of the thinking down right. They just wouldn't recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. So they would say, hey, all of this stuff that you already believe, here's the rest of it. And then some of them would believe, and some wouldn't. It had been very easily that, like you're saying, that their Rome already had Christians there, wouldn't it?
Pentecost was somewhere around 33 AD.
Amen.
Or, you know, thereabout.
Yeah.
Paul's journey there that you're speaking of was on up about 60.
Yeah.
60. That's 20-something years, you know, that they had to go over there and
amen.
Get a church and be established. And then, of course, you know, Paul, when he wrote the Roman letter, he actually saluted some of those brethren that he knew.
Amen.
And over Rufus and some of them, you know, that he knew. So,
amen. A
lot of possibilities.
Yep.
I think the Bible pinpoints Paul's work so much and Peter's work. They was all kind of preachers.
Amen.
You know, today maybe people just look at certain preachers, but look at all the work that's going on that we don't even hear about.
Amen.
You know, similar to that.
That's right. Appreciate this. Anybody else? It's amazing the tunnel vision I get when I'm reading stuff like Acts. And I just think, well, and then you kind of push yourself back and why do you believe what you believe, you know? And then you try to find it, and then you're like, I can't find it. Now what am I going to do, you know?
I guess you get caught up in that a little bit, because it does say where they was ordaining elders and establishing at churches as they went along.
Yeah.
And they was.
Yep, I agree.
That don't mean they was doing all of them. And that, I mean, and you know good and well, just like I do, that every church that was established is not mentioned here.
Amen.
You know, there in Macon County, you start naming off churches, and you're going to start Fayette, Mr. Baptist, Antioch,
yeah.
And you're going to start thinking of the bigger ones, and it's if you get real careful, it's easy to kind of forget Liberty sitting down here and drink the crossroads, and you, next thing you know, you forget a few of them. But I believe there were probably churches and just little bitty communities scattered everywhere that not that they, God didn't recognize them, but they may not be in the book.
Yeah. You
know? And so everything's not reported. Wasn't it God that said, you know, everybody ain't enough words or whatever to describe, to tell everything?
Amen.
I mean, if everything was told, the book would be bigger than it's built.
Amen.
So,
amen.
A lot of people doing the book.
Appreciate this, brother. Appreciate this. That's good for me to realize this stuff. Anybody else? Anything else on that? Don't want to rush this. 18 and 19, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, and talking about Priscilla and Aquila, and then entered into the synagogue and reasoned with them. So that was just kind of letting that be known that that he'd left them there, and he's saying that he's got to get on back to he's got to get on down the road. He can't stay. But he left them there. He went into the synagogue, and then he left from there, it says. So we know that's where they were left. And we know in some of the other scripture, we can go find. I meant to do that last week and didn't. Or messed it up. I think we ended up finding it in 1 Corinthians 16 and 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So the book of this letter to Corinthians, it was, I believe that to be written it was set up during the second missionary trip here, but this letter to the Corinthian church was written on the third mission while he was at Ephesus. So is we believe that he's writing from there, and he's mentioning that there's a church, or that Priscilla and Aquila had a church there at their place in Ephesus that was recognized to be a church, although it was just in their house. And then, like I said, they desired him to tarry long, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you if God's will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And that's where we're saying he went back to Antioch of on the edge there of Syria and Cilicia. And so that finished up. That finished up the second missionary trip. Any thoughts on any of that? If nothing else, we'll get into some other thoughts here. So with trying to understand where the churches were and what were some of the churches, and again, when you don't know nothing, you got to research every bit of it, and that's why I keep getting in this tangled up web. So y'all just bear with me. So we talked about books that Paul would have written. We believe that he wrote Philippians. We believe that he wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, Romans, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. So if he wrote those, then my mind got to wonder, well, where was he at when he wrote one, and what was he dealing with? You know, we touched on some of that when he was maybe when he'd go to one place, he'd just immediately write back. And we recognize that like 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, that would have been his earliest writings. That would have been some of the first stuff that he would have wrote back. And still considered some of the earliest written information of the New Testament. So both of those letters was written. Penned from Corinth on the second missionary trip. Paul was there in Corinth for about 1.5 years. And like I said, these were some of the earliest New Testament writings. And we'd seen that in 18 and 1 where he had departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So that's where he was at. Like we talked about there in verse 11, talks about him being there 1 year and 6 months. And 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. And he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I just wanted to. And he was talking about where he had been up there in Thessalonica, and he was talking about being with them, and appreciated how they'd supported him and things of that nature. But Galatians, Paul had went through there in his first journey, and I believe that to be written from Antioch of Syria at the end of his first mission. And then, but when you look at Galatians, and I don't want to. Yeah, I guess we will go ahead and kind of get into that. When you look at Galatians, is that a single church? Because as we go through this, you're going to see, if you read at the very first normally the first little bit in each one. If you go to, let's just go to Thessalonians. Go there first, and then we'll jump back. So keep your finger in that. If I can find Thessalonians, I believe y'all moved it. First Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Specifically says church there, doesn't it? Read the second Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Specifically says church. Now, we go to Corinthians. You can go there in the first. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Specifically says church. Second Corinthians, I think you'll see that same verbiage there, but we're just going to go and read it because I've got time to fill. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some gaps this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So he specifically says church. Now, when you get to Galatians, we may go over there and see how he words that. Now recognize it in our map up there where Galatia is, and knowing it's more of a region that he's talking about. And you can see that there in your map. You see that to be a large area. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Church is. So we got plural there, don't we? So, and with that makes sense, because where we've been and what we had seen in his first journey, and they refer to that as being some of Galatia, I believe that to be and include Antioch of Pisidia, Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium. So there's multiple churches there. I don't believe you're going to find a letter that just went to Derbe or that just went to Iconium. So he writes a letter, and I believe somehow that letter is to get there, and somehow that letter is to travel to all of these churches. And y'all feel free to jump in. You men and women know this better than I. But that's how I'm looking at it. That's how I'm seeing it. And just by his verbiage and the area that we've read, I believe that to be multiple churches here. Colossians. It says, if you go over there, it says he wrote to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. So that's a Colossian letter, and according to some, that Colossians was written by Paul during his time in prison in Rome. And then just shortly after he had wrote this, there was a man basically coming and talked to him and was telling him about some of the issues going on there. So he writes the letter from his jail cell there in Rome. And then just shortly after that's when he wrote the Ephesian letter. Some of the same stuff is in both of those letters, if you read through there, they say. I ain't matched that up, but 75 to 100 different or same scriptures are used in both of those that it was said. So I need to look into that. So that would kind of support the thought, hey, his mind was in that position talking about Jesus being head of the church and how the church was compared to a body. And so some of that's mentioned in Colossians and in Ephesians. So it kind of make you think they wrote there pretty close together. But there in Colossians, in 1 and 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Coloss, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we just don't read church there, do we? It just, not saying there wasn't one, I don't know enough, and I just don't read it there. So I ain't really got a point here. I'm just trying to understand. Boy, it's kind of good to see that in Galatians, to say that always letters weren't directly written to just one church. It had been multiple churches, and sometimes they just refer to the region. You know, like what Brother Jeff was saying there a minute ago, if you were to try to write a letter to churches in Lafayette, or if you think about it broader in Macon County, or if you think about it broader in Tennessee, or if you think about it broader in the South, or broader even yet into the United States. When you look at some of these regions, they're pretty large. You know, you could say Galatia could be, you know, maybe as big as the South or something like that, right? So there's a lot of area there. We talked about there at Ephesus. We believe if you go over there and read the beginning of Ephesus, Ephesians. Anybody got that? Let's see. Well, go right ahead. Read that, Benz. I'm still fumbling around. Please, sir.
It's in the second. I guess what you're looking at is the second verse. But the first verse says, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and the saints which are at Ephesus.
Yeah.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So it there in the first, it like you'd said, it says saints were at that at Ephesus. So it now this is where we know there was a church there at Ephesus. We just talked about that. So it didn't specifically say it, but this one I was able to find scripture to say that there was a church there, and we recognize that would have been in the house of Aquila and Priscilla, and then we know that was. But again, knowing these time frames, it would make you think that church should have already been there, because Ephesians, we were thinking, wasn't written until he was already in prison at Rome. So there, just because it didn't say there was a church doesn't mean that they wasn't a church. I guess it's kind of where I'm going with that.
There's some arguing out.
Yeah, no, go right ahead.
But when it says saints, that's talking to church members. It don't call like. When it says a saint, that means somebody's not only somebody that's been saved or whatever, it's a church member. I don't know that. I've never studied that out, but I've heard that argument.
Yep.
And so I just throwing that out there that he could be speaking to the church calling them saints.
Amen. Well, I'm thinking like you are there, because when we think of Ephesus, it's not a small corner town on top of Huddleston Hill. Ephesus is a big town, right? And probably has more than one church there. So when he's writing to the saints, is that kind of like you mentioned the elders and stuff? Is he getting this letter to them, and it's up to them to go and populate it throughout the area? That's kind of where I was going with this. I don't believe it to be just one church at Ephesus. I believe there to be multiple churches in that area. And kind of getting to my point, my next one, thinking Romans. Rome, if you think of the city of Rome, if that was the only area, then that's still a big town. It ain't a small town by any means. I can just imagine what that would have looked like back in that day. Because you think of what area that Rome had, what kind of footprint that they had on the globe at that point was just unbelievable. So when you mention Rome and to think that there's one Roman letter, I don't believe that was going to one church. I believe there would have been as you read the book of Romans, I believe it's very broad. It's very, when you read that, it says to all that be in Rome, beloved of God and called to be saints, is how that's put in 1 and 7. We may go over and read that real quick, even though I probably messed it up with my chicken scratch over here, but we'll go back and read it here in the Bible. 1 and 7. Yes, sir. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Now, when he mentions Rome, does that mean the city of Rome, or does that mean their province of Rome? I don't know the answer to that. But even if you take it to that level of just the city of Rome, that's why I'm saying, again, you don't see here that he's specifically pointing to, he doesn't say a church. He calls to the saints. Well, if we take that saints, just like what we had read it in some of the others there, that we believe that to be a very broad area, like what we mentioned in Galatia. Galatia is a region. He wrote to a region, multiple churches. When he writes to Rome, is he writing to multiple churches? Get that letter to the saints and let the saints take that out to, I don't know, maybe in 100 churches there. I don't know. But
there's multiple ones in Rome. I'm trying to find
them. Amen. No, if you, I'm all for
you
it, brother.
While he's looking at that, he was referring back to going to the churches at Colossians. You know,
yeah.
Whether that was written to one church,
yes, sir,
or many churches, or but if you the area of Galatia is actually in Asia Minor.
Yep.
So by that, you go to Revelations, and there was letters wrote to seven churches that was in Asia.
Amen.
So that makes it look like there was multiple, that the Colossians right here may have actually been to even those seven churches of Asia. Would that not be?
It'd be there in that area for certain. You got. Like that, looking at her map there, you got Phrygia and you got Galatia all right there together, Lyconia, and those, again, we mentioned those, some of the churches there that we knew was established in that Galatia area was Antioch of Poseidon, Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium. So that's the ones I know of, and so that could have been the ones that the letters were written to there in Galatia for sure. Anything else?
Did they establish churches back then the same way we do today?
I ain't answering that.
I mean, you know, did they have this extended arm and set up a presbytery and go through all these, you know, all that kind of? I'm not against it. I'm just saying, if Paul was out there doing this, making these trips one way, and Barnabas was going around the other, and you've got all these other guys you're talking about, which makes sense to me. It don't look like that they're doing it the same way.
Well, I think with Paul and Barnabas, we've seen they were sent out of Antioch together. And then they split up, but they were still sent, it appears, on the authority of the same church. Right. So even if Barnabas went out and started up a church, he'd have had that. It appears that he has that authority from Antioch.
It just don't look like they're doing it the way we do. They must have been wrong.
Well, ain't that how we think? I know where you're going with that.
That ain't how we do it.
It must be wrong.
They come through the authority of the church instead of them. Amen. That's the key to it. That's exactly right. You always go through the church. Not
man.
The man. And that's what they were doing. That's why it's so important that I believe, and I always believe, and I'll argue to the bitter end, that Paul was a member at Antioch.
Amen.
Because Antioch is the one who took authority over him and Barnabas and set him aside for the full work of the ministry.
God bless. Amen.
And I believe he was a member of Jerusalem before that, and I believe, personally, that he was a member of Damascus, which we don't. I've had people, and we might get into that later.
Where
he's baptized. And so, it always comes through the church. As much as y'all love me and know me, y'all cannot know my heart.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
No matter how much confidence you might have in me, you can't know for certain that I've even been saved. All you know about you saved. And so, if you go through the man, what we're going down here today will just be a waste of time. But we'll go through the church, and even if I am wrong, if I'm not exactly where I need to be, the church still has authority to do it.
That's right.
We don't go down there and say it by the authority of Gil Flight.
Amen.
But we say by the authority of Hilltop Missionary Baptist. Y'all are doing the baptizing, and I'm just a minister,
not the administrator.
That's right. Y'all do. And if you go through the church, there's always authority, and it'll always work.
Amen.
There's been times that our churches, at one time, they see it already over, they lay hands on them when it's established. Some of them felt like they should, and I can't say that I'd argue with it. But then that some of them thought they shouldn't, and then they quit. So, have we always done it the same? Apparently not.
Amen.
But we always come through the authority of the church.
Man.
And as long as you come through the authority of the church and try your best to do it the way what we've got to teach us,
amen.
Then There's authority to do it, as long as we do it within his authority.
Amen.
But anyway, I didn't mean to speak, but that's the key, is it went through the church.
Amen. Good question, good answer. Amen.
My point is, and I was being silly, it's got to go through baptism. And baptism is by authority of the church.
Amen.
It cannot go through a man. Nope. Him just go out and just do whatever he wants to
God
do.
Bless.
You know, and set up the church. And that's how come today somebody can't go out there just, I believe I'll start one up over there on the corner, you know, on my own. That's not a church. I think it's wonderful the way we do it today.
Amen.
I know you wouldn't argue that. I'm
just making a point. That,
yeah. Well, I know.
The Lord had it going in all kinds of ways.
Yes.
Like a bomb went off over.
That's right.
It's been set up everywhere, but I still have to believe it was just like you said by the authority of the church.
Yeah.
Not Paul just saying, well, I believe I'll set one up here. Well, maybe I'll go over and do that. I believe the church sent him to do that.
Yeah.
Barnabas.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing. But if you leave the church and its authority out of it, we've got no perpetuity all the way back. In other words, we ought to be able to trace our lineage all the way back to the mountain.
Amen.
Now, we're going to have some spots in it where we have up history to kind of make, but we have to take that on faith that it was by baptism that was authority of the church.
Amen.
I have to believe that.
Yeah. Amen. God bless, brother.
You think then, you know, you talk about the churches, now that we've got them scattered all over Macon County. But you know, then I met Josh and this morning going the wrong way, and he still beat me here. Coming from Rocky Mountain. You know, back then, you know, people walked. So, I mean, they couldn't be, if you was a member of a church at Gallatin, you'd have left 2 or 3 days early to get there on the Lord's day, you know, walking to get there. So, and that's like it is today. You know, we just, you know, you be a member of a church in Bowling Green and leave Lafayette and go to church and be back home after dinner, you know. But back then,
amen.
There was little churches in people's houses that they was meeting, and they gathered there. And, you know, and they couldn't walk from here to Rocky Mound.
Amen.
So they had other things to do. So there were little churches established, no doubt, all over the place, I think.
Amen.
I don't want to muddy your waters, but I do have to ask a question, and I apologize if I should know.
No.
So, I understand, like, the region of the churches, and so not everyone is mentioned, but when you said a minute ago that Aquila and Priscilla, their house, is considered a church, so I know that where two or more are gathered, right? But what made them say, I mean, I'm sure there's other people who had gatherings in their home. Why does it specifically say that their house was a church?
I'm with you, because you're looking for something official. What actions, you know, we would love to see that. And that's kind of what Brother Marty was talking about. You'd love to see that there was something established there to say, hey, here's exactly how we ought to do it. But that point is vague. It doesn't, but we believe they have to believe and be saved. So we believe we've got that element by the fruits that they've shown there when we read about Aquila and Priscilla. We believe that they were baptized. We know that they helped Apollos. We'll see that here in just a little bit. Understand the rites that, because Apollos was teaching the wrong way. When we get into chapter 19, he was going by John's baptism. And then they said, well, and I believe they softly pulled him aside and taught him more eloquently.
Amen.
So does it mean that they just, I mean, like, at their house on a regular basis?
No, I believe they would have.
Yeah.
I believe it, just like Brother Jeff was mentioning, some of these small country churches around here, whenever they were established, it was probably started out in somebody's house. And then maybe after they meet long enough, hey, we need a little bit more room. And maybe it's, amen, this one sure did. God bless. Amen, good question.
They always have church buildings.
That's right. That's right.
That's something in our mind frame we just don't think about.
Yeah.
But back in years ago, they didn't have church buildings. A lot of them had to hide and everyone else. And like the question is, I mean, basically the church met in their house.
Yep. Amen.
That was their church building, so to speak.
Yes, it was.
I've kind of thought that same thing about Cornelius. You know, I wondered if
that
was like the first Gentile.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
They got baptized, so the authority of wherever Peter was a member. I'm assuming maybe Jerusalem. I guess it was just in their house, wasn't it?
Amen.
Their family, their friends. He said he called his kinsmen and all that together. Kind of cool how that all happened like that.
And said the whole household believed, and I believe that means they were of age to hear. They were saved. That wasn't where infant baptism started. Like some want to take those out of context and say, well, the whole house, if there'd have been a baby laying there, well, now, no, that it said, in one place said they heard and they believed. So they was old enough to know. Really appreciate everybody's input this morning. Good questions, and I guess we'll consider ourselves to be dismissed this morning. But thank y'all.